Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Dominic, how are you, my friend?
I'm awesome, Crudy. Happy Tuesday to you, of course. Evan, working the board today. Good to see you, my friend, and our fair audience. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Ebone on the board, lightly screening the calls. And they're open for you, the phone lines, that is, 844-967-2789. But Dom, I'd like to do a little reminiscing today. I'd like to do something for old time's sake, something we used to do nearly every day on this show. You know, we've been doing this. We're soon to turn 11 years old, turning towards our 12th year of broadcast excellence.
Wow.
And when we started this little enterprise, Dom, you and I on a Saturday at high noon, first caller that we ever got on the big show was Brett Halsey, State Rep Brett Halsey. Yeah. Sort of had a checkered past, but at that time he was still the esteemed Brett Halsey, state rep from Madison. When I say checkered, you know, he got a little goofy at the end there, but good guy, Brett Halsey, you know, ran against Murray Burke in a Democratic primary for governor. We took Brett off the reservation that day. You know, our first caller thought we owed it to him to puff pass his ass into oblivion, but you know, he didn't partake so much as get kidnapped
and get hotboxed.
But Dominic, something we used to do with some frequency and once upon a time, Governor Scott Walker, the former Republican governor of the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, as this little show was forming, he was being recalled. Do you recall?
I do recall.
And we were on differing sides of this issue. How did you vote in the recall, Dom?
I voted for Scott Walker in the recall.
And why would you do that? I've never forgiven that.
Man, well, I wasn't aware of the specific illegalities and coordinating with third-party groups at the time. You know, my position at that point was, well, yeah, the guy, you know, passed some legislation people don't like. Well, that's why we have elections.
And since that time, how has your opinion grown of Scott Walker?
Man, F that guy. Are you kidding me? That guy's terrible. He should never be anywhere near Governor's Mansion again.
Well, with that in mind, I'd like to start this show today, like we used to start so many shows historically, Dom, with a little Walker bashing.
It's been a long time, and it's so appropriate to do. We got to revisit that more often.
Paul Fadlin at the Cap Times. Scott Walker still profits by demonizing educators.
Yes, he does.
Well, that's what the recall was really all about, Dom. It was about the demonization, the pitting of neighbor against neighbor, the attack of the public sector unions here in the state of Wisconsin, the drop in the bomb, the Act 10. That's where we picked this little column up, Paul Fadlin, as mentioned. For years, Madison author Lawrence Tabak studied Scotty Wanker, Walker, but almost certainly not in a way the former Republican governor welcomed. In 2021, Tabak published his meticulously researched book about Foxconn, Walker's signature economic development catastrophe. The book's title summarized Tabak's takeaway, Foxconn, imaginary jobs, bulldozed homes, and sacking of local government.
Wanker.
Yeah, that was his legacy, really, Dom. That yeah. Many more bad things. Foxconn was heralded in 2017 by Walker and then President Donald Trump is a transformative economic development partnership to benefit southeastern Wisconsin. But the grandiose investment and employment promises by Foxconn and I would say Don by extension, Wanker, a Taiwan-based Foxconn, a Taiwan-based electronics firm, never materialized. Just last week, a critic running for office in the village of Mount Pleasant, home to Foxconn, called it the largest failed publicly funded economic development project in U.S. history.
Oof.
Also last week, Tabak shared his thoughts with me, the author, about his latest encounter with Walker, which came via a fundraising letter addressed to Tabak's 96-year-old father-in-law at an Iowa nursing home. Tabak said his father-in-law grew up in South Dakota on a South Dakota farm and has spent most of his life in Iowa. He's not exceptional among his peer group of old white guys, and his chief occupation these days, watching Fox News. And when he went into nursing care this fall, my wife and I began handling his mail. Dom, you don't even like handling your own mail.
Curdy, the 7-page letter from Walker was on behalf of the Young Americas Foundation. Walker became its president after losing his bid for a third term as Wisconsin's governor to Democrat Tony Evers in 2018. Tabak noted that the foundation's stated goal is, quote, public education on the ideas of individual freedom, strong national defense, free enterprise, traditional values, and leadership. Tabak wondered how Walker's commitment to free enterprise aligns with directing $3 billion from Wisconsin taxpayers to a foreign corporation like Foxconn. Delving more deeply into the group, Tabak noted that Young America's high-profile activities include ownership and management of the Ronald Reagan Ranch near Santa Barbara, California. The group also maintains the late Republican president's childhood home in Dixon, Illinois.
You know, Dom, that childhood home in Dixon, Illinois, just 2 short hours and 2 dispensaries away.
Well, you never have to get past one unless you're working on the limits. The letter to Tabak's father-in-law begins, "You are a steadfast supporter of one of America's most important national treasures, Ronald Reagan's beloved ranch home in Santa Barbara." On the letter's 7th page, Tabak found the financial ask, a $2,000 donation. "My father-in-law is not a wealthy guy," Tabak said. "He's a high school graduate who served in the Navy in the waning years of World War II and worked as a traveling sales rep in the oil industry. Walker's letter explains how raising money to pay for student visits to honor Reagan is clearly important to offset, quote, woke indoctrination that has hijacked the homes of our founding fathers." What? Walker says that James Madison's Virginia home, Montpelier, lacks displays that focus on the 4th president's accomplishments, such as authoring the Constitution. Walker's letter claims the site has been converted into a bastion of wokeism where slavery and racism take center stage. He also complains that no American flags are displayed at Madison's home, which he calls a visual reminder of the hijacking of American history. Walker also claims that nearby Monticello, the home of Thomas Jefferson, is no longer a tribute to our third president, but instead, visitors are overwhelmed with the horrors of slavery. Walker has an antidote for those dreadful Virginia presentations, encouraging people like Tabak's father-in-law to finance youth trips to pay homage to conservative hero Reagan.
Oh, Walker, that all makes sense now, Dom.
Totally. Walker writes that such visits would help counteract the left's lies on race, so-called climate change, BLM ideology, income inequality, and many other trending issues. You can rescue a teenager, Crudy, from liberalism.
Do you have to turn him into a welder like Wanker used to advocate for?
The reality is that Walker, in his lucrative foundation job, is continuing a long pattern of building his resume and cashing in by tearing down educators and education systems. Long before the Foxconn debacle, Walker attained national notoriety by attacking public education as a newly elected governor. Wisconsin is still recovering from his attacks on public employee unions and his consistent demonization of the teaching profession. As a result, Evers, a career educator, is still trying to help schools recover financially and repair the damaged stature of teaching. Walker's record as governor included not only the harm he did to public education and the Foxconn debacle, but also blocking what would now be a state-of-the-art high-speed rail system and generally governing by dividing people. But attacking public education was and remains the central focus. In recent days, Crudy, the National Republicans have lamented how their party is losing ground with younger voters. Hard to imagine why, given their denial of climate change and personal reproductive rights, but warm embrace of automatic weapons? Go figure.
You wanted to pick up and carry your dead weight?
Take it home, baby.
Here is a quote. GOP sounds alarm over struggles with Gen Z voters, proclaims a recent headline at The Hill. Experts in the article attribute GOP losses last fall primarily to Gen Z, the youngest voting cohort, and to millennials. They point out that Republicans are not in the social media channels that the young people frequent. Walker, quoted in the article, has a different explanation, that liberal indoctrination in schools is to blame. He says young voters are deprived of multiple schools of thought on issues, you know, like incorrect views and thoughts, multiple views of thoughts on issues, including views considered right of center. So Wanker wants 96-year-olds on fixed incomes like Tabak's father-in-law to help pay for his crusade to, as he writes, rescue a teenager from liberalism. This author writes, my most recent column featured a conversation with Evers in which he emphasized the importance of investing in quality public education as the state tries to attract and retain young people for its workforce. So you might say our two most recent governors have focused on education just in very different ways. Wanker. He was always the wanker, right?
Manlin writing at the Cap Times at CapTimes.com. Yeah, bringing it back, man. Like the guy, and what does he do? He's tweeting out, right, Curdy? He sent me a little image overnight. Oh, hell, you know, the Packers have only won, what, Super Bowls under Republican governors? Huh?
I know. I was quite insulted. I saw it on his, you know, I had to go make comment on his social media page. As I pointed out, he was the singular governor to bring us Foxconn. I mean, you cannot defend it. Republicans, I dare you. 844-967-2789. Come back. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. What is this, Tuesday? We're calling it Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
It's a Walker Bashin Tuesday edition. Join the party. Remember when we made Walker Bash trend on Twitter the night of his State of the State address? I was so proud. I felt like we'd gone viral for the very first time. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates.
I was drawn to Ronald Reagan because he was a Republican and a conservative.
You wouldn't hire me to be a neurosurgeon. You wouldn't hire me. You wouldn't hire me to be a neurosurgeon. You wouldn't hire me to run condos. You wouldn't hire me to run HP. You probably wouldn't hire me to run the United States Senate.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal. When the rain gets in.
And stops my mind. We are back. We're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Jody Habish-Sitikin, she's a candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. She's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We can grab some calls right now at 844-967-2789.
Let's take Bill. He's been patient. Bill from Oconomowoc. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Oh, just great. And keep up the job, guys. You do a wonderful job. But you really made my day. Anytime you want to bash Walker, that's my kind of day. You put a cherry on the sundae for today, talking about Walker. Maybe we could get a monument erected to him to list how he destroyed Wisconsin as governor, you know, from education to the DNR to the teachers to I can go on and on, Foxconn. This man was able to do so much destruction in Wisconsin. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this part. He no longer lives in Wisconsin. There's a
let's clear on that. I think he's on Pewaukee Lake or something. He often brags about it. You know, now that he's big time, now that he's cashing the big Reagan Foundation checks, I think he's moved up in the world.
But anyhow, keep up the Walker bashing. That guy left a legacy of destruction like no other governor we've never ever had. And boy, you guys can work a lot of magic. Man, if you could get him on your show, oh, I wouldn't miss that for the world.
I don't know if I'm that magical, Bill, but you talk about the legacy of Scott Walker. We actually, and we've got to hearken back on this, Dom. We have so honored. There is a legacy that we have left to honor the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, Scotty Wanker. He ran for president, Dom, as you well recall, and we chased him. We went to Iowa. He didn't last very long. He didn't get beyond Iowa, but he often bragged about his time as a Eagle Scout. I was an Eagle Scout.
He said it quite often. He was very, very proud. Yes, very proud.
Well, he wasn't a college graduate, so he would often hearken about his greatest life achievement. Apparently, it was in scouting. So when Scott Walker was at the top of the presidential polls, we became aware of something. I think we saw it at the Huffington Post, one of those kind of, you know, aggregators. We see this article about Donald Trump being memorialized as a butt plug. And there was a guy in Miami named Fernando that did this, these sculpted butt plugs of Donald Trump.
A 3D printer, I think it was, in the shape and likeness of Donald Trump for various positions that were butt plugs.
So it could be mass produced. And we, being the fine radio host and, you know, antagonist to Scotty Wanker that we like to think we are, well, we called up Fernando and we asked him, we commissioned him to do a little work for us. And we've created a legacy on behalf of not just Scott Walker, but I'd also like to thank the Devil's Advocates, because we have branded the Scott Walker butt plug. He's wearing his Eagle Scout uniform, the bald spot prominent at the top. Had to do a little sanding, I'm sure, when he created that. You know, put the color on, then sand the top off like a reversed yarmulke. And all the little merit badges. And the Scotty Walker butt plug, the sash, the Boy Scout. I was an Eagle Scout sash. They're all demerit badges. They all have individual dishonorable things that he did. I think there's like 20 plus of them. I think you needed 20 to become an Eagle Scout. And then Dom, on, let's call it the working part, you know, the part that remains external on the flat part, you know, if you will, if he was standing on his feet, you know, the Scott Walker butt plug as it represents the man. And it is a striking likeness, Dom.
It is very good. Yes, Fernando did a great job.
Eagle Scout uniform, the sash, the bald spot. And when you flip it up and you look on the bottom, the Devil's Advocates limited edition.
The logo, you know, it's a sign of quality.
And it's still available today for purchase. And you can buy yours today, Bill, you from Oconomowoc and anyone in the fair audience. I didn't start this little effort today to move some Scott Walker butt plugs, but for all time's sake, look up our friend Fernando at politicalsculptor.com. And they're fairly affordable. I got to look, Dom. You know, there's been inflation since, oh no, they're still the great deal they always were. You can purchase this item for $28.99.
Oh, such a deal I got it for you.
3D printed sculptures, the bald spot. Oh, it's glorious, Dom. And, you know, Fernando then took it a little beyond our original interpretation, like pencil holders. Sort of prison style, bent knee Scott Walker, you know, holding a pencil in his prison purse.
Protrudes out of his backside. Yes, Fernando, great job. But Curdy, and so deserved, and we had a lot of fun, and I actually still have one at the house, so sure if you check them out. Yeah, I kept one.
You put her in action every so often, do you, fella?
Well, it's kind of a gritty, more of an exfoliator. But Scott Walker, when he came in, right, what were the biggest lies of Scott Walker? One, I'm going to create 250,000 jobs, right? Remember? I mean, the dude never got close in, 8 years? Not even close. Number two, I solved a $3.6 billion budget deficit. Never happened. This never happened. You can look at the CAFR reports online. There is no number. And, of course, the debacle that we talked about that we are still living with, this Foxconn debacle. So, you know, this business, you know, Republicans are supposed to be good at business. No, they're not. They're supposed to be all about the local government. No, they rolled over local governments, right? No, they're supposed to be about, you know, investment. No, they gave money to a foreign corporation. Why? Because it was political. It was a political deal from day one. They kicked people out of their homes using eminent domain. You're talking about the big hand of government because Scott Walker wanted a plant that was never going to happen. They made people lose their homes. What a terrible, terrible governor.
But a great pub plug. PoliticalSculptor.com, a fine guest, joins us next. 8CD, send it them, Jody Habish-Senekin. Stick around.
I'm Scott Kevin Walker.
Are you with me?
I can't. It's too big.
Well, my little friend, get something jammed in here real good.
I love being governor.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Dominic, we got a fine guest joining us right now live via Zoom. She is a candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. She's Democrat Jody Habish-Senekin, and we welcome her back to the Devil's Advocates. Jody, welcome back.
Hey, Jody.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here today.
We were just reminiscing before you got here, a little Walker bashing for old time's sake. Jody, if I recall correctly, last time you came around, the topic was Foxconn. What was your prior advocacy? We'll get to the Senate seat in a minute. What'd you do prior, Jody?
With regard to Foxconn, you may recall I was very much focused on looking at the proposed contract and enterprise through the lens of the Great Lakes Compact. That is work that I had undergone for well over 10 years prior. And our mission was to have a strong and enforceable Great Lakes Compact to protect our region's greatest natural treasure for generations to come by actually adhering to the letter of the compact itself. And I was very concerned that the diversion proposed to provide water for this Foxconn project was not in compliance with the Great Lakes Compact. And we litigated that, and that's really what I was talking about on this show.
And Jody, if I recall correctly, it wasn't necessarily even Foxconn's primary ask. It seemed like that was motivated perhaps by setting a precedent for perhaps some future donor to be named later. But if I recall correctly, at the time, Foxconn didn't want the straw that Scott Walker was offering them, did they?
It's hard to know. One of the problems or challenges of this contract from beginning to the present is just the murkiness, the lack of transparency and accountability. It was very hard to tease out who wanted the water for when, why, and how. And I have to tell you, just trying to keep track over the years since that time I appeared on your show, it hasn't gotten much clearer as to how that water would be used or will ever be used. But certainly you are correct. It did set a harmful precedent.
Well, Jody, wasn't that all flushed out on the back of the cocktail napkin that Walker signed with the Foxconn people?
It's hard to know. I wasn't there, but I think the image you just raised sounds like about right.
Jody Habish-Senekin has declared herself a candidate for the 8th Senate District. And Alberta, darling, I'm going to turn this one over to Dom. That was Dom Senator for the longest time.
Great district, Jody.
But Alberta, darling, was on the Joint Finance Committee. She played a large part. The outgoing Republican, now retired, stepped down from her seat on December 1st. And now we got a special election, this unexpected vacancy, and that seat, as the outcome of the election and the gerrymander would have it, gave a 2/3 senatorial majority to the Republicans. And it is only Darling stepping down at this time that leaves them without the power to impeach. This becomes a very important seat. And before we talk about your candidacy, I wanted you to talk about a few of your potential general election opponents. We've got an election denier We've got another one who wrote a letter to the former vice president on the 5th of January saying, please don't certify the election. And those are probably your front runners at this point, don't you think, Jody, on the Republican side?
It appears to be. Their primary is end of February, as you know, February 21st. I agree. The positions that I've read about in the newspaper and what I've heard are exactly as you just stated, which is actually one of the main reasons why I put my name in for this seat.
Jody Habesh, Senekin candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District. And thank you for doing so, Jody. I was shocked and appalled that of the possibility of one of those two election deniers representing me in Madison, Jody. I mean, I don't know how we got to this point where election deniers can get to can rise up like this, and it's going to be a tough primary on the Republican side. But you know, that's going to hash itself out. Jody, looking forward to your candidacy. Let's talk a little bit about the functions right now as it stands in Madison. We have a $6 billion surplus right now. If you were to be elected to the Senate, what would your priorities be if you had a say on that?
Yeah, you're correct. With regard to that surplus, that has been a culmination of a trend over the years to take money from local control and amass it and centrally in Madison. And so where local communities, local school districts and the like have been starved of funds, what we have is this buildup of funds at the state level. And what I think will be important is to identify how we can reinvest in our communities, our education, actually our citizens and tax savings and tax decreases. So all of that needs to be redistributed fairly. And I think the time is now, and we shouldn't delay that any further.
Jody, we've seen some headlines recently of, you know, Republicans lamenting the fact that they're losing the younger voters. And abortion is still going to be a big issue here in the state of Wisconsin in this next election cycle. What's your position? I'm sure it's a priority for you. And what are your other priorities should you become a state senator?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking, Dom. As you would probably expect, but I will state it very clearly, I strongly stand for a woman's right to choose her own healthcare options, most certainly including the right to choose an abortion. That decision is between a woman and her physician, and it should not be a politician to enter into that decision-making process. And that is a common sense and sane approach to that very important life decision. With regard to other issues, as you would imagine, I am pro-conservation. I want us to protect and conserve our state's natural places, address climate change concerns, and of course, protect our wildlife in an appropriate way, given the biodiversity crisis that we're experiencing at the global level. I believe that it is very important to have strong and safe communities. And as such, I believe that a strong, well-funded, and just law enforcement system is a priority for our public safety. And I'd be glad to talk about that. And I'm really focused on education, how important it is for Wisconsin to invest in our schools at every level, preschool, grade school, high school, college and apprenticeship programs, so that we give our citizens the best chance to contribute and to keep the best minds in our state, rather than what we keep reading about, that there's this exodus to other states. So those are just a few. Of course, I have opinions on many other issues, but those are ones that are important to me.
One more regarding the conservation. The DNR, Fred Preen, of course, recently just finally stepped down, the Walker appointee to the DNR board. What's your sense on how the Republicans are working with Evers and or not working with Evers? And how do you expect to work with the Republicans if elected?
I am grateful that Preen has stepped down, because that has long been something that has been of great concern and harmful effect, not just to the Natural Resources Board, but seriously for our democracy. It set a really dangerous precedent, another one. But that one was a first, and it didn't look like it was going, no one knew when it was going to end. So that is important. I can tell you that with regard to working with Republicans, I have an excellent track record, the proudest accomplishments of my career to date have been very much working across the aisle and with a variety of diverse stakeholders, literally industrial, municipal, environmental, business folks, really to work out common sense long-term solutions. We're looking again at the Great Lakes Compact. We're looking at groundwater quantity concerns. We're looking at my puppy mill bill that passed unanimously after many years of being held up, and also a recent education mandate bill. So this is really my strong suit, is to try to go to Madison and work out practical solutions across the aisle and to address this state of dysfunction that has descended on us for like the last 10 plus years. We really need to start having the legislature working for the Wisconsin people, all of our people, Republicans, Democrats alike.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We have a fine guest live via Zoom. She is a newly announced candidate to Wisconsin's 8th Senate District, or at least the race to become Wisconsin's 8th Senate District representative. She is Jody Habish-Senekin. And Jody, want to make it clear, you're an attorney by vocation, is that correct?
That's correct. I've been an attorney for over 30 years, and I started out in private litigation practice and worked for a federal judge. And then I have been working for many years as an environmental policy maker and attorney for Midwest Environmental Advocates and my own sole proprietorship, as well as taught for over 6 years at the School of Freshwater Sciences. I taught a water law class and an environmental justice class.
Well, Jody, I don't know if you're aware, but Dom took the LSAT. We tease. Jody, you know, you talk about the best and brightest. We want to be served by our best and brightest. And I would say that some of our best and brightest, perhaps yourself, have been discouraged by the nature of the political beast, the elective cycle. Do you feel like you chose politics, or do you feel like sort of politics have been thrust upon you by the circumstance, by the special election?
It's a really interesting question. I have to say that a matter of just like 3.5 weeks ago, I was reading the newspaper, like I'm sure you all do, and feeling increasingly concerned by those who are coming forward to represent our district. I have deep roots in this district and in Wisconsin. And I thought, oh my gosh, what the heck is going to happen to our democracy, our rights, our healthcare system? And I just couldn't bear the thought of being a bystander to it, sitting back. And I was very concerned, this is very personal, but concerned that I would deeply regret not doing what I could do to make a difference. And so when I was asked, I thought hard about it, and I realized that Wisconsin truly is at a tipping point. With this seat, if we flip it blue, we can protect Evers' veto, we can protect against impeachment abuses, and we can make a significant difference for the future. I strongly believe that, and that's why I chose to step forward.
Well, Deb Andrenka, the Democrat who serves one of the three assembly districts, had just gone through re-election, an election, and did not want to go back and run for this office. You talked about someone giving you the call, and you don't have to name names, although we like to name names. But Jody, did you feel like you were recruited for this position, and was it the Democratic Party?
I was asked by several people, and they are friends of mine. I mean, when you get to be at this point in my life, you've been working in and I'm supporting people for many years. And I did not take those requests lightly. I did my own research and made my own phone calls and really thought long and hard about it. I can tell you that Deb Andrenka has been an incredible ally and friend, a great mentor and advisor. She was not the one who initially had reached out to me, but since then she's been an excellent resource and supporter. But it was more that I've always been engaged on these issues as an environmental advocate, as a citizen, as someone who cares about our children's future, and just someone who loves Wisconsin, just keeping it real. Sorry to sound mushy, but it's true. And I was just really concerned that I would just regret standing by and then wringing my hands next year when all those terrible bills, many of which you know, guns in the school, and just, you know, the nature of the bills that Governor Evers had to veto. I was concerned that I would be watching them come back with no ability for him to prevent them from becoming law.
Jody Habish Senekin, if people want to support your candidacy, how can they get involved?
They can get involved. They can go to my website. They can make contributions. They can, most importantly,
give them the website. I'm sorry. Jody, give them the website address. Make it easy for them.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even tell it to you right now. I know it's jodyforsenate.com, I believe, but I'm sorry I don't have it at my fingertips. You think I would know? You can tell that I'm a new candidate. But most importantly, if I could just get this message across, please vote on April 4th. Please vote and get your friends and neighbors, acquaintances, work friends, everyone, vote, 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 please.
Thank you, Jody. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
At 844-967-2789.
You know, Dom, I don't know if they heard the whole phone number there. I'm going to repeat it. 844-967-2789. Speak like a man, you.
I'm talking to the mic, man. That's what I was taught to do. Thank you, Jody Habish Senekin. Vote for Jody. Come on, this is my Senate district. I cannot have election deniers representing me in Madison. You can find her on the website, as mentioned, jodyforsenate.com, jodiforsenate.com.
I'm glad you clarified that. J-O-D-I, not the only common spelling of Jody, and the F-O-R. You never know if they're throwing the numerical four in there. You know how it goes, man. You know, the one question we did not ask the fine candidate for Wisconsin's 8th Senate District: legalized marijuana. What were you slipping?
Come on, I'll have to get her back, man. I mean, it's coming quick. Yeah, I'm assuming, you know, the dumb platform is legalization, right? I mean, that's what Tony's all about now. Hell, even the Republicans are teasing some medicinal flop. But, you know, we'll ask Jody next time she comes around where she stands on the taxation, regulation, and legalization of cannabis in the state of Wisconsin. I'm sure she's for it.
And our cannabis activist buddy, Alan Robinson, joining us on the big show tomorrow to talk about some of that legalized marijuana stuff, the good stuff. Not the medical pill form that Republicans are proposing. But back to the phones, the lightly screened Chad from Madison. Chad, I understand, sir. You are the proud owner of a Scott Kevin Walker butt plug from the political sculptor with an O.com.
Hey, Chad.
Hello, I am a proud owner of one of those. I don't have an enhanced collection beyond that, but it is the sole, I guess, trophy in the room, shall we say. I actually earned it based on one of your shows. I heard you talking about those a little bit earlier, so I thought I'd chime in and say thank you for the gift. I actually was on your show live and in person, face-to-face with y'all when you're at the Jade Monkey, when you had broadcast from that location, I guess.
The Jade Monkey, one of Hawk's finest neighborhood bars. That's probably our favorite of all the fighter Hawks bars, the Jade Monkey.
I thought I would contribute to your sponsors there and make sure they got their plugs. I know we want to do a good job of that, right?
Well, butt plug as the case may be. That's cool how you did that there, Chad.
Touche. All right.
Any other political thoughts other than how bad the former gubernator was?
Well, no, I do echo the thoughts here, earlier guests, though, that really did spin off a decade of significant problems, and it did kind of lead the way on a lot of the conservative charge that we saw result in, you know, the Trump presidency, essentially. So it's an unfortunate continuing trend, and I'm glad we have people like your last guest that are willing to step up and be activist about that, whether, you know, we all find our own form of activism, whether that's chatting with neighbors, whether it's taking more public stand. We all need to do what we each can and it individually do to make this world better.
Or buying and proudly owning a Scott Kevin Walker butt plug. Chad, you did your part for humanity, man.
A great point, Chad. Appreciate it. You know, not everyone is cut out to run for office, but as mentioned, you know, there's lots of things you can do to help facilitate. Do your civic duty. Otherwise, if you don't, you know, people like Janelle Brangin will step in, and then we got that to deal with.
Jody, with an I, Habish Senekin, a fine candidate, a Democrat, the only Dem running in the 8th Senate District, the special, February 21st, that's the primary. That's when all the election deniers fight off. And then on April 4th will be the general. And one general thought, you know, had this strong candidate not stepped up and run. I'd seen some of the other candidates people were trying to encourage to run. I'm telling you, you got to do better than just take the LSAT.
844-967-2789. I did do better. Curdy, I took it twice. Gene from Eau Claire, you're up. Welcome, Gene. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, guys. Hey, I think this is great that you have this woman as a candidate, because I had communications with her years ago. Just an outstanding person. Cares about people. Cares about the environment. Cares about workers. I mean, this woman's the real deal, so I hope people get excited and help her whatever way they can, because you guys are lucky to have somebody like her, because I learned, you know, with what she helped me with, and she's honest and has integrity, and she'll work real hard for you guys. So thanks for having her on there, and best of luck, because she's an outstanding candidate. And, you know, it sounds good, the butt plugs, because I never got in on a butt plug. And we laugh about the butt plugs all the time around here. It was the only thing that brought a smile on our faces when that you-know-what was running our state. So thanks a lot, guys, for all you do. Bye. Bye.
And I'd like to thank you all for the maturity level that we all show in association with the Devil's Advocates radio show, the most mature radio show ever.
Indubitably.
You know, I was both so embarrassed and so proud when we rolled out the Scott Walker Eagle Scout political sculpted butt plug for sale. To this day, you can buy one, $28.99, online at politicalsculptor.com. It is the only true way to honor a butt plug like Scotty Wanker.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it was the most appropriate. I mean, if you could, you know, sit down and think for, you know, generations have pondered how to best memorialize terrible politicians. Well, it doesn't get much worse than people like Scott Walker, and I think it is absolutely appropriate, and thank you all for playing along.
844-967-2789. Our buddy Jake.
Okay, I'll wait. Hopefully.
Hey, Jake. Hey, you're on the radio, man. Come on.
Jake, what's happening, fine. Man?
Okay. Yeah, not much, you know. Having Jeannie talk about butt plugs, I just laughed my ass off so hard. It was pretty cool because the way she puts things, it's just funny. So thanks, Jeannie. It was just hilarious. I don't know why. But hey.
Is this Jake from Milwaukee? It's a different Jake, right? I recognize you.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Jake from there's another Jake now? Oh, God.
There's alternative Jakes, man.
Oh,
you know, there's even two CJs. Wow. There's a good one and an evil one.
Really? So, but I bet you the other Jake is a stoned one, right? I would imagine.
How could we tell the difference?
Oh, okay. Well, I was actually thinking about patient Rogensack today and what kind of a whore prostitute she became once Scott Walker got elected. Yeah.
Seems strong words. She did become the chief.
Yes, she did, but she had to, like, she worked with them, the WMC, the Realtors Association, and Club for Growth or whatever, and she became the Supreme Court justice person, whoever they call that. You know, like the chief. You know, she had to work with the Republicans in order for that to happen.
Jake, excellent point you make. Whether you're from Milwaukee, Eureka, stoned,